And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I am Tommy.
What's up? It's India.
What's up, India?
Hello.
Yes, another 2 weeks has passed.
Yes.
And the earth is still here, even though it feel like the fire is actually coming from the ground. It's so freaking hot.
What's the word? It's not dusty outside, but it's the air is thick. It's not good air quality right now.
Yes, so. Yes. Today, because I had to go into the office and I have a big window in front of my desk and it just looked straight hazy.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know what y'all doing up there in Canada. Mm-hmm. First off, somebody in my office was like, look, I need to see these wildfires because I ain't seen no wildfires in Canada, but for some reason we still getting all this smoke.
Yes.
But yeah, it was crazy hazy today, which does not help the air quality, nor does it, you know, it helps hold in the heat too. So
yes. It's definitely sure.
The other morning when I was running, it felt like somebody was like blowing a hairdryer in my face. That's how hot that's how the breeze felt.
Yeah, I did some volunteering on Saturday. It was so muggy. Like, I just felt like the air was thick. Like, it was really, really muggy, and I was just standing there. Just super hot. I wasn't even running. And you could just tell the runners that were coming by, they were just like, it is definitely humid. Like, it was more than humid. Like, it was just like the air was just a different type of thickness.
Yes. Yeah. So we are definitely, I mean, I hate to wish for winter or fall because I'm a summer person. I like the summer. I like warm weather, but I don't know. I'm kind of weather. Let's go with fall. Because if summer feel like this, maybe fall will feel like spring.
You think so?
I mean, the way it is, I don't see how, you know how usually around January, February, it's like super, super cold. That's when we really get our cold weather here.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get that this year.
True.
I might not even pull out the big jacket.
Yeah, we might not.
So, but with fall comes the fall marathons, which we all love. And as you were saying before we started recording, we see everybody out there doing them long miles in that heat.
Listen, everybody is out doing the long miles, long runs, the early mornings. And a part of me is like, oof, I couldn't do it right now. I'm like excited that I'm not training for a marathon. I mean, I am running and training for a couple races, but I am not training for a marathon. So it's not like a must, or if I miss a Saturday run or something of that nature, that is a problem. So I do not envy anybody right now, but y'all do y'all thing. I'm excited to see y'all's results produced in the fall.
Yes indeedy, because definitely if you train in the summer, you're gonna be a speed demon in the fall once these cooler weather comes, you know.
Yes,
it's about a, what you say, 30-second, 1 minute difference sometimes, based on, you know, the weather, your pace will change,
right? Yes. So I am definitely looking forward to the fall marathons, what that entails, and just happy to see everybody getting their mileage in.
Yes, indeed. Now, of course, there's a fall marathon coming up that, I mean, I was kind of hoping that my friend Kipchoge would go ahead and come on back and run NYC for us so we would have a chance to see him on American soil. But he announced, and he called me first, just to let you know.
He texted me
and was like, okay, I ain't going to be able to do it.
Tommy, I'm not going to be able to make it.
I ain't going to be able to make New York.
Mm-hmm.
He said he is going to go to Berlin. Now, what you think? Do you think it's, when the boss was like, I don't like this American hilly courses, and he said, let me go back to someplace familiar, or it could be the money.
Well, you know, it could be that, but I also read an article with him, and he was basically talking about he felt like it's better prep for the
Olympics,
Paris 2024 Paris Olympics. But I was also reading that a Paris Olympics is not a flat course, so he should be training and to get ready. He should run New York in order to be in better preparation for the Paris Olympics. But hey, maybe he's just thinking miles on his feet. I don't know when he'll get the speed working, the hill working in between. So I do think it was an interesting call. I do think that I would love to hear more as to why he decided to do Berlin again, because this would be his fifth Berlin. And so I just think that it's interesting that he continues to go back and is not looking for the world majors. And maybe he's not as excited about the world majors as us Americans are. Like, because honestly, there's a big population of people that are not like super, super excited about the majors.
Yeah,
they
could care less.
It is what it
yeah.
is. Yeah, they can care less. So
yeah. I don't know. And it could be, I mean, you know, we see Kipchoge, we see how he can run. And I think most people just kind of assume he'll always run like that until he decides he doesn't want to. He may mm-hmm. be looking at his mortality like, do I want to go run a race where there's just definitely no way I can set another world record? Because mm-hmm. he's not going to set a world record in New York. He's just not.
Mm.
But I go back to Berlin, and there's a shot.
Yeah.
At setting a world record.
There potentially is a shot. Yeah.
So that could have something to do with it also.
Well, there has also been a lot of chatter about Kelvin Kiptum, which is the person that broke Kipchoge's London Marathon course record back in 2022, that he may be running Berlin. I have not seen that it's been announced that he's running Berlin, but that would be very interesting because from what I've been hearing, Tommy, people feel like he is like the up and coming Kipchoge because he is 23. He's younger, newer to the marathon distance. So he basically, he won the last London Marathon. And then he did his debut in 2022 at the Valencia Marathon. So I don't know. I will just say this. Since Kipchoge has chosen Berlin, it would be good to see them go head to head because it seems like the fitness may be there for both of them, hopefully. It'll be a good run to the finish.
Yeah. Besides the World Majors, Valencia seems to be one that a lot of elites mm-hmm. like to run. Or if nothing else, they like to start.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
start with, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what would you think about if say another company, because, you know, Abbott does the World Majors.
Mm-hmm.
What if another company came along and said, okay, we're going to put together our own World Majors. Do you think it would have the same, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cachet. Finesse, excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As like, I mean, because of course you got Boston, the granddaddy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I guess we're talking Boston, New York, Chicago, major cities, but there's other major cities that have marathons in the United States. San Francisco,
well,
I think would be great.
Yeah. So I think that it would need to be. So I think talking about the World Majors, what is the excitement about it, right? Like, if I was to remove myself from the chatter as to what the real excitement is about the World Majors, I think that a big grab to it is it can't be just a medal, like, because mm-hmm. clearly it's just a medal, right? But there is a percentage, at a very low percentage of people that complete all of these major marathons, right? So it's one, the bragging right. And I think the second is these marathons are in places that a runcation would be loved, right? Like you going to Tokyo, you're going to London, you're going to Berlin. There are places that, especially for our US people, there are mm-hmm. places that are very exciting to go to and you can make a run and a vacation out of it. So I think that that's what makes US people excited about the World Majors, mm-hmm. but I agree. Like, I feel like there's other races that could be part of the World Major Marathon process that could be just as exciting, but I think that we would have to move out of just the U.S. because I feel like the U.S. is just too, it's too attainable for us, like for us U.S. runners. It mm-hmm. is just, it's like, we've done that already. Like, it would have to be other races that are exciting outside of here.
Well, I mean, in the U.S., like I said, I think San Francisco is a major city that's not a part of it right now. Let's see, New York, maybe L.A. I don't know. I think as far as marathons,
mm-hmm.
to me, just looking from the outside in, San Francisco sounds like a more exciting place to go run the marathon. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, you know, we can talk about Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe we talk about some places, like not really a trail run, but like Big Sur, mm-hmm. which is big, very popular, place like that. Maybe Grandma's, you know, Marathon, you know, might be one that you would look at. Outside of the U.S., like we were talking about Valencia, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
That I definitely think would be a part of it. this is an ultra, though, I think, in South Africa. Comrades,
yep.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That might be one.
So how about we do like Comrades, we make the race in Atlanta a marathon, and then we do... How about we do those type races, like, and make that a piece? Like, why can't we make our own? Like, there's races that we can make our own.
And the only reason I did not say Atlanta is because, hey, people from Atlanta, y'all don't come out. Y'all don't come out enough for a marathon. Y'all don't come out to cheer. Because, I mean, both you and I have both won Chicago and New York.
Yeah.
It's people pretty much cheering the whole course. I mean, even as late as we finished, there were still people, you know, out there, you know, cheering, especially in Chicago for sure, you know, cheering. And I don't know if we get that same kind of enthusiasm.
No, I mean, I think we had it for the trials. But we need people to come out like they did for the trials. But I think for the trials, it was so many people because people were literally from out of state. Like, people from all over came to the trials.
True.
But you're right. Like, Atlanta doesn't show up deep enough for it to be. And maybe it's just making it more appealing to it, and what could make it more appealing if you know, we had something of that nature. Because I think if we were to step up the elite game for maybe for Publix or something of that nature, maybe it would cause more people to be interested and want to come, but it just, you know, it doesn't have that right now.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Kipchoge could come run Publix and we still wouldn't get, because I just don't think people know enough. Because even like, I talk to other runners who are not that into the actual, you know what I'm saying? They're into running and they run their races, but they're not into like elites like that. Like we know, you know, like we are, female or male. And I guess you're correct. And also, I guess with the trials, it was a loop. So it was pretty easy to, you know, it wasn't like we were trying to fill 26.2 miles, you know, with people pretty much.
Right.
So that could have, you know, something to do with it too. But that's the main reason I didn't mention Atlanta. That's the main reason I mentioned Miami, because I don't think Miami has that kind of enthusiasm for it. I'm going to be interested to see what Orlando does with the Olympic trials. Because that's, I mean, once again, I don't, you know, I've run a half marathon there before. You know, you're running through, you know, you're running past people's houses that, you know, they like, why are you in my street? Kind of thing. So
I cannot.
You know, I will be interested to see what Orlando does. But the only ones I can think of in America, like I said, San Francisco and maybe LA, maybe Big Sur. But of course, I guess Big Sur wouldn't have, you know, that many people watching either.
Right.
But Comrades definitely. Valencia,
but is that
definitely.
What makes the World Majors fun? Is the spectating piece?
I think that helps. I mean, I think that helps with making it exciting that you have so much support. Because I'm sure, like, when Abbott first was putting this together, because, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think these things were called World Majors until Abbott came along and said, you know what, I'm going to label these the World Majors. And
add an extra medal.
And I'm going to give you a
star. Tell y'all to come see.
But, of course, now, Abbott, you know, these World Major marathons get a lot from this, because Abbott does a lot of the pays for a lot of the advertising. Not like they need it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there is something that they give, and that's why these marathons want to be part of it. You know, I think at one point they were talking about adding two more. And I forgot what city it was that everybody thought that might get it, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, as I stated, you know, sad news, no Kipchoge on U.S. soil.
Well, there you go. Tommy has spoken his piece. He is sad about Kipchoge not making it to New York. But we will be up and excited to see who he's going to be running against in Berlin. And I'll be excited to see that race. So that takes place on September 24th. So mark your calendar to be up late in the middle of the night to watch that.
Well, hopefully it's on TV. You know, they've been, you know, putting it on, what's it called? Track Shack. What's it called? What's that thing called?
Track Shack.
But anyway, they put it on an app. It hadn't been on, you know, a lot of these World Majors haven't been on TV, you know, lately. So I hope they, you know, do find a way to broadcast it on TV.
Definitely.
So we can watch it, you know.
Definitely. So since I have a question for you.
Sure.
So since we have not, so I know that you, we don't have a marathon on our schedules. You or I, don't, we neither one of us have marathons on our schedule for 2023. Do you have any like specific running goals that you're trying to do for yourself, and not even like PR goals, but just like running in general? Is, all right, what space are you in mentally in regards to that?
I'm just trying to stay consistent. I've been on a training plan with Hal.
How's that going for you?
Since April. I mean, I've been consistent.
Do you like the app?
Yeah, now I like the app. Now I get the free version. Fancy Pants, Heather, she paid for hers.
Mm-hmm.
Main difference is if you pay, you can adjust it in during the actual training period. You can like change things. If you don't pay, you just got to start a whole new training program. Like you have to put in all the stuff again. So that's the main difference. But yeah, I like the app, you know. The main thing I like is I can tell it how many days I want to run. Cause like right now I'm not trying to run 5 days a week. I'm running 4 days a week, two during the week, two on the weekends, pretty much. And I mean, like I had it training me for a 10K before Peachtree. It had me doing speed work, tempo runs, fartleks, excuse me, all that good stuff. And then, you know, put me in my long runs, and pretty much the time that it predicted for me is basically what I ran when I went and ran, you know, the Peachtree course. And, you know, because it you tell it what you want to run, and then as you go through your workout, it eventually goes, nah, you ain't going to be able to do that. This is really what you're going to be running. And it was pretty on.
I was wondering what the difference was between the app versus, because, you know, you can get free Hal Higgin plans online. I was really wondering what the significant difference was between that.
Well, you know, because like I looked at the Hal Higgin, because right now I'm running the half marathon program, the intermediate one. And the one online, it's 5 days a week. And I can't do 5 days right now. So the 4 day is a little different, but it does, you know. Of course, you're not getting all the stuff that you would get if you did 5 days a week, but it gives you the program. So, you know, I like it. It's, you know, like I said, it's free. You can't be mad at that.
Yeah. I've had a couple people reach out to me about training plans, and it's always interesting. You know, if I don't coach someone, like me recommending a plan, because I've never done Hal Higdon app. So I wasn't sure like how it generated. I know when I first started running and I was getting into, you know, distance running, I would use their free printable stuff online, which kind of really just held you accountable. Again, you'll probably get the mileage. For those, you probably won't get all of the extra stuff that you need, the strength training and all that. You just have to know to add that into your plan. So adding speed work, adding strength training, et cetera. But you, obviously, if you was to get an actual coach, you'll know, or the app, you'll know exactly what you need to do, intervals and all that stuff and what that looks like. So, but it sounds like that might be a good option.
Well, you would need to, like you said, I mean, I've been training enough that I kind of know when he says speed work, what I need to do, hill repeats, I know what he's talking about.
Okay.
If you don't know that kind of stuff, you just got to go to his site and he'll tell you, you know, exactly what it is. But, you know, Hal Higdon does some stuff differently, like his fartleks are different than what actually fartleks are, you know, but that's even on with his printout ones. It's not exactly, his tempo run is different than what I'd heard what a tempo run was. But, you know, I still kind of work his program. So it's, you know, I like it. It, you know, it's not, what's the point I used to do that, you know, you ran 7 days a week?
Hanson.
Yeah, it ain't Hanson. I'm not going to be breaking any PRs anytime soon. But it's the main reason I did it is because I just wanted to stay consistent.
Having a plan and having something to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to me waking up in the morning, today I'm going to run 3 or today I'm going to run 4. You know, I'm going, you know, I have something. And even if you're outside the weeks for like, so when I finished Peachtree, I put in to start training for the race, half marathon. I was two or three weeks out from when I should start training. So it gives you kind of like a baseline to run up until you get in within the time period for the actual training.
So it helps you develop your base. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's cool. So we'll see how it go.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that's good. I need to, I did put myself on a plan to get ready for this 10K that I'm doing in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, but I need to get myself up in the morning time to get these runs in, because after work it's just not happening. Between the heat or just having long days, it's just not happening the way that I would like it to.
So what's the earliest you could run, like, in your area? Like, what's the earliest? Sunrise?
According to Braxton, sunrise, yes. But I could run, my neighborhood is gated, so I could run in my gated neighborhood in the dark, but he not here for that.
Yeah.
So sunrise, but at this point during the summer, sunrise is 6:37.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit later for when I'm, you know, I usually start work at 8:00. So, you know, get my miles in and then doing that. And then that's just looping in my neighborhood, and it's not a huge neighborhood, but also my neighborhood is very hilly, on both ends. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, who wants to do that? But I mean, there is a park that's not far from here, but again, security wise, I really wouldn't want to go to that park. It's lit, but it's kind of an interesting place. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't see myself being able to do that. But when I was training before, yeah, I was hitting up loops in the neighborhood, and doing my thing in here. But again, you know, I'm a mental person. I don't like loops, and I don't like doing the same route all the time. And if once I get tired of it, I start to just not want to do it. So I don't even want to set myself up for that misery. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I definitely need to start getting up early enough in the morning, to get some kind of movement in.
Yeah. I try to get up and do it. I mean, you know, I can run it, you know, I don't know if I feel safe, but I feel like, you know, I can do it. So I do get up like 4:30, and do my run so I can be done, showered by the time, you know, everybody else is starting to stir. I bought myself a new lamp. So I used to wear a headlamp. I used to wear the traditional, but I started getting a mark right in the middle of my head from the lamp sitting there. So, and it hurt, and I got tired, and I like to wear visors and hat. You know what I'm saying? I like to be able to wear that kind of stuff. You can't really do it with a lamp. So I call it an Iron Man lamp. The light is in the middle of your chest. It's like not a vest, but like a little strap on thing you put on.
Yeah.
The light is right in the middle. It has two settings, but it you can move it. So you can point it directly at the ground. You can point it straight ahead, whatever. It took a minute to get used to, because, you know, when you wear a headlamp, you're used to looking in a direction.
And the light
goes with
it. So now do you have to turn your body? How does that work?
But I mean, honestly, the only thing about it is, I don't wear earphones. I'm not listening to music, so I can hear everything. So if I hear something behind me and I go to turn, I can't see.
You got to turn your
body. I'm like, if somebody's coming up on me, they're going to get me.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing. And the other thing is, I'm used to having the light come from the top.
Yeah.
The light coming from, it took a minute for my body to adjust to the light coming up this way.
Yeah.
And when you're running, the light kind of, the beam kind of does that. But it's a wide enough beam.
It's more movement.
It's a wide enough beam, so it doesn't matter. But I like it a whole lot better than having a thing on my head, personally.
Okay.
And I had, my headlamp was batteries, and that used to drive me crazy. So this is rechargeable.
Okay. So, headlamp that I have is rechargeable at this point.
Yeah, that's definitely much better than the batteries, because you might get out. It might turn on at the house. But then you get out there, and then all of a sudden you can't see anything. So, so I like the rechargeable.
Nobody got time for that.
Yeah, exactly. But I run in the morning quite a bit, but it's still humid as ever.
Mm-hmm.
I ran during the day once recently. Mm-hmm. So Heather was out of town. She had to go to someplace for work, South Carolina, to her main office. It was me with the kids, so I had to go run when I could. Like, I dropped them off, so I went running after I dropped them off at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. That's a big difference.
Running
at night and then running during the day, as well as when I ran, you know, my peach tree. Mm-hmm. I did it basically the same time of day that I would have run if I was actually running the physical Peachtree around 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Same thing, you know, that heat definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, it definitely does. No, I agree. It definitely makes a difference. It definitely causes you to really slow down. And I think that that's what I've been seeing too. It's just so funny. I look at my algorithm on social media and like the things that are happening. So when we first got on the call, I was like, yes, marathon training season, people are doing longer runs. And, you know, you're seeing people are like, oh, today was a hard day. It was a slow day. And it's like, it should be. It's blazing outside. The humidity, like your pace is the humidity is going to force people to actually run easy paces these days. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your conversation pace, your easy pace. Like, and I think sometimes during wintertime, or through wintertime training or fall training, we're running some of our workouts a lot faster than we should. And I think the summertime forces you to slow down and actually do conversational pace running as what you should. Like, you should not be running your marathon pace every single run that you're running. And so I think that the summertime really causes you to slow it down. And I just think we just have to appreciate it. That's what it is. And that doesn't mean that you're going to run that same pace on race day. You're going to have to include some of those difficult times, but definitely slow it on down and respect the heat. We don't need nobody passing out here.
And trust me, you'll definitely feel the difference during Taperville. Mm-hmm. Taperville, all of a sudden, that 5 mile run feels like nothing because you've been running 10s and 15s and, you know, whatever. So yeah, most definitely. I'm not missing marathon training right now. Not at all. I'm good for right now.
And no, I'm with you.
You know what? I didn't miss marathon training when I was actually supposed to be training for a marathon. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let me ask you this. So you know, some of the stuff you use when you're running, like the drinks and the goos and the whatever. Do you do a recovery drink?
So typically, afterwards, it's always a protein shake that I do. Okay. So because honestly, I am that person, every athlete is different, but I am that person that during my long runs or after my long runs or races, I don't have an appetite. Like you have your runners that are super hungry. They're like, give me the beer, give me the pizza, give me all the stuff that I didn't eat during training. Mm-hmm. And then you have some runners like me after long runs where I am literally forcing myself to take something down. And so for me, it is typically I take down either a smoothie with protein or a protein shake. And then usually after I get a shower, ice bath, a couple hours later, then I will actually get food in my system, like full food, because I can feel a difference once I eat. So, yep.
You know,
always protein.
I have recently. So, if you talking out loud or something and your phone hears you, it starts showing you stuff that it thinks you want.
Yeah.
So, I might've been talking to Heather about, you know, cause Gatorade Zero does not taste good to me. I don't like the taste of Gatorade Zero. And all of a sudden I get this thing for is Element. I had seen the commercial already. I want to say it's a famous basketball player.
It's almost like a liquid IV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I ordered like a starter pack.
Okay.
I'm not a scientist. I can't tell you if that junk is actually working. But I do know this. I like the taste better. Okay. So I drink more. You know, I drink more. So that's usually helps.
Have you tried Liquid IV before?
Uh-uh.
Mm-mm. Okay. So I remember. So was it? I don't remember when I started. I put myself onto Liquid IV maybe 3 years ago, I started taking Liquid IV, but Liquid IV is similar to, I have one right here, similar to Element, but it's in a packet. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why I got put onto this was because it's supposed to be a hydration, it's called a hydration multiplier, right?
Okay.
So basically it means if you take one of these, it equates, I think it's one or two bottles of water. Like it's supposed to really like give you that extra hydration. Now, I will say, if you don't, this has a little bit more salt in it and sugar in it than the Element. I have not tried Element. I have one up on my counter that I do need to try. But it is really good if you're really trying to replenish salt and electrolytes. And this is typically what I take on my runs. Okay. When I need that extra electrolyte in, and when I'm really trying to hydrate good during the week, when I need that extra salt and sodium in my system, and not only just drinking water, because I think that that's something that we also underestimate, is we're only drinking water when it's like you need to include the electrolytes and the sodium and all that stuff in there too. So I would love to try Element, and love how you continue to hear about it, because this Liquid IV is what I've been using as my replacement.
Yeah, it's definitely, you want to do 32 ounces. Because if you do like smaller, like 8 ounces, it's going to be too salty.
Okay.
Unless you just finished running. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, if
you
I think that's how the Liquid IV is. It has a significant amount of salt.
It's pretty good. I said I'm going to order another, because the starter pack comes with all the different flavors. Like, I think three of each one. So I think I might do that again. But definitely after a run, oh my God, it just it feels like, you feel it like taking, you know, helping your body replenish.
Well, let me know how you like it. And maybe, over the next couple of weeks, I'll try. I do have one that maybe I can try, out here that I have, and see how I like it in comparison to it. But I will say the Liquid IV is only like the lemon lime flavor. And I want to say lemon lime is my favorite flavor, but like the flavors are very interesting. Like this one right here I have in my hand is Tropical Punch. And some of them, like you said, they tell you 16 ounces of water, and it's some of them can be like really like you need to add a little bit extra water. So if you want to try these, let me know. I got so many downstairs. I got a whole stash of them.
I definitely will. And real quick, I mean, I think we've reached our limit, but I know I keep pushing these Adidas, but these Boston 11s, $79.93 at REI, and now you can get both the black color and the green. I'm about to get these green ones. I'm loving these Boston 11s, man. They feel so, and I'm trying to buy them because I know eventually they're not going to have them anymore because they go into the 12s, and they're going to be right back to $160 or whatever they cost.
Yeah. Are you a neutral or stability guy? What type of shoe do you
need? Usually stability. These are not stability, but they feel...
But they work good for you.
Yeah, they work for me. They have some carbon from what the guy, because I talked to the guy at the Peachtree Road Race. Expo, he says there is some carbon in these. They have what are called energy pods. Trust me, I can tell the difference when I'm running in those or I'm running in the out of zeros, the SLs, that don't have any carbon in. I can definitely, because I ran the SLs this morning and my shins didn't hurt, but I definitely could tell the difference from when I'm running in the Boston 11s. So I might grab me one more pair in the green. Tell Heather, because she like, where are these shoes? She's like, where are these shoes coming from? But I'm like, they're 160. Well, no, actually, they were $170, I think, originally. They're like $80. Come on. I got to get them.
Yeah, they're discounted. Yeah. I mean, y'all running, so got to get them. Got to get them. Well, all right. I'm going to do this one last plug for all of our women of color, femme women of color in the running industry. Whether you work for a brand or you work independently on your own in the running industry, like myself, meaning podcasting, vlogging, and obviously race announcing and emceeing. But Take the Lead Retreat is taking place on the week of August 14th, 15th, and 16th. That is taking place in Chicago. So registration is still open for that. So definitely check out Women of Color Take the Lead. I will be the Masters of Ceremony again this year. So I'll be emceeing again this year. A lot of brands will be out there representing. It is really good to really see a lot of brands kind of coming together and sending representation as well. So we've got Brooks, New York World Runners, New Balance on, Strava, Superfeet, Features, and Fleet Feet are all of our sponsors for the 2023 Take the Lead. And with that, sponsorship means that they actually send people from their corporate brand to participate in our panels. You know, you're able to basically have a connection with someone from that brand that works at that company, and you can do a lot of networking and get information about what it is to really work with brands or work in the running industry as a femme and woman of color. So if you are in that, you're wanting to expand your reach, you're wanting to get more information, definitely go to Women of Color Take the Lead online as well as on Instagram. Registration is still open, and I would love to see you in Chicago. I don't know if I'm in Chicago, but it's in Chicago. But yes.
It is in Chicago. All right.
Yes.
Well, that is great. Now, if somebody wants to hit you up to find out more about it directly from you, yes, how would they do that?
You can hit me up on Instagram at Eye of Indigo Runs, or you can also find me on my email at contact@milesformedia.com is my email.
All right. And you can hit me up at ThomasMitch68 on Instagram, and ThomasWMitchell, the number 2, at Gmail. All right. India.
Yes.
In the next 2 weeks, I will holler at you.
Yes. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. Peace.
Bye.